We continue to point out that our region is rich in cultural offerings. You do not have to travel far to find places to listen to live music. And in addition to the regular venues, there are seasonal offerings like the Southern Oregon Music Festival, which has entertained audiences in the fall for the better part of three decades, though not always under that name. Now the festival faces an existential challenge. It needs to raise money and a significant amount to be able to put on its usual offerings this year. Let's learn more about the festival's general workings and its financial challenge. Dennis Ramsden is the Southern Oregon Music Festival president and executive director here in the studio with me. Dennis, good to see you.
Good. Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Jack Hopfinger's with us as well. He's a guitarist and a music instructor from the festival who has spent a lot of time in youth detention facilities. Jack, good to see you.
You too, Jeff. Thank you.
And we have apparently one of the former students on the phone, Joseph Niebergall. Joseph, if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly, please let me know, but good to hear from you as well. Joseph, you there?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. And how do you pronounce your last name?
Niebergall.
Niebergall. Okay, we got it right. Okay, good. Let's start with you, Dennis. I remember the first time this event happened, having been in the Rogue Valley for 30 years now plus, as the Medford Jazz Jubilee. Give us a little history sketch of the event.
Well, it did. It started in 1989, and it started as a totally Dixieland festival in those days, traditional jazz, and it was for a long, long time. But as older people lost some of those people, we had to reinvent in a way. And so we ended up about 6 or 7 or 8 years ago joining the Medford Jazz Festival instead of the Medford Jazz Jubilee. We brought in Zydeco, Rockabilly, Western Swing, Big Band, Zoot Suit, Jump Jive. We've got all sorts of different types of music. And there's music for everybody. And also, another component is dance, swing dance. Our venues all have dance floors. One in particular has a huge one just dedicated for dance. So it's a combination of both. So there's music for everybody. Everything's got a beat. And so that's where we stand as far as how it's evolved over the years, over the last 28 years.
And what has happened to you financially? What created this situation?
Something we never thought would happen. What happened, we've got a lot of people that are supporters, that are sponsors. And what happened was that our three largest sponsors, all within a 12-month period of time, two of them passed away and decided, one of them totally went out of business, and the other, the company then went a different direction, and we lost one of our shorter-term sponsors that also decided to go a different direction. So basically $50,000 in one shot, and that's a lot of money for a festival like ours. So we need to get that money back through sponsorships, donations. And in order to do that, in order to keep the festival going, and our deadline is March 1st, so we've got 2 weeks left. We've got a ways to go here. So if you're a business sponsor or a business, please take a good look at what we're doing. You can go on our website. I gave it to you, Jeff, there, www.somusicfest.com. .org
or somusicfest.org.
Somusicfest.org, and it'll give you information. Also, my contact number. I'd love to talk to you about it. Got all sorts of levels of sponsorships, anywhere from $350 up to $10,000, depending at what level you are, determines what you get as benefits. Everything from a lot of tickets to, you know, constant mention. Remember, this is a 3-day festival. We bring in 15 bands all over the United States. And they're here for 3 days at 5 venues in downtown Medford. And the bands rotate. There's over 100 hours of music. So if you're a sponsor, especially a higher-level sponsor, your name's just going to be mentioned constantly over that 3-day period of time.
How did the festival get into educational programs like the one that Jack Hopfinger offers?
Great. Good question. For the last 28 years, we have brought in bands, 2 bands a week early. And we go to and visit 30 elementary and middle schools, putting on all school assemblies, getting all of the kids, the faculty, the principals, everybody's involved. We're trying to teach the students about music, instruments, what it's like to be a musician, any questions that they have. Our goal is to get them interested enough to pick up an instrument, because if they do, we know national statistics, their grade point will go up, they will become better students, especially in math. If they can read, write, and play music, you agree with that, Jack?
I totally agree with that.
Okay.
And a lot more, too.
Thank you. And then that was what we did for 28 years. Now, about 4 years ago, we decided to do a new program. And that had to do with instrument donation. So we collect instruments from anybody. People bring them to the festival. People hear about us and just give us a call. We'll make arrangements to get those instruments. We work with Tom's Guitar Warehouse up on Riverside in Medford, North Riverside. They hold all the instruments. Most of the instruments need some repair. And we have money for that. We get that through grants, generally. So we're in pretty good shape from that standpoint.
But it's operating money you need for
the Yeah, itself. It's operating money we need. We can't touch that money. It goes towards the kids. So in the last 4 years, we have got our hands on, repaired, and donated to kids in need over 200 instruments, a lot of instruments. And, I mean, crazy things. We actually found a bassoon for somebody who never thought they'd find it. That's an expensive instrument. We did that. Now, the other thing that we do, the third leg of the stool, so to speak, and I'll let Jack address this. This is the guitar program that we have with the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Center in Medford, also Central Medford High School. But Jack's here to talk about that.
All right. Before we get any further, let me remind folks we're talking to a few people from the Southern Oregon Music Festival. Dennis Ramsden is the president and executive director. Jack Hopfinger is a guitarist and music instructor. Charlie Hammond has joined us on the phone, as well as Joseph Niebergall, two students who had been in the educational programs earlier. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about the financial situation that SOMF finds itself in. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jack, how did you start going off into juvenile detention facilities?
Well, a name I'd like to mention is very important, is Tom Boroff. A friend of mine and fellow musician had basically provided me the opportunity to meet Dennis and the other folks at Southern Oregon Music Festival. He basically got me connected with this CBT, that's also called this program, at the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Center. And he introduced me to my first group, 2013, I believe, in the summer.
Sounds right.
And it has actually ended up being one of the most rewarding things I've ever done before in my life. It really is, you know, skin-tingling experiences just to observe the progress of the individuals that are in my guitar group as far as maturing, as far as opening up and not really being afraid to show their feelings and actually learning something that they've worked hard at that they get to share with other individuals and teach. And it really is, it's huge.
Let me talk to the two students here. Joseph Niebergall, had you taken any music instruction before you you met with Jack in juvenile lockup?
No, I did not.
Uh-huh. And how did it appeal to you at first? I mean, was it something you were like, yeah, whatever about, or were you a little more enthusiastic than that?
I was more interested in it.
Mm-hmm. What was it that appealed to you about it?
Just got to learn new things.
Mm-hmm. And Charlie Hammond, what about you? What was your attitude when you first heard about the program, and what got you to join up?
Oh, I was all for it. You know, I didn't have anything to do in CBT except play guitar, so when I heard there was a guitar program where you could get a free guitar, you know, I was all for it. I stuck there for 6 months anyway.
So, Charlie, what kind of incentives, and what did you have to do to earn that guitar?
Well, you have to complete Jack's program, and that's a pretty good program. You know, you have to go through all the music theory, and you have to learn a lot of chords. And you know, Jack would always challenge me because I always needed something more to do, I feel like. So I was always trying to stay uncomfortable.
Trying to stay uncomfortable?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
You know, you can plateau with your guitar skills, or you can keep working at it, and that means stepping out of your comfort zone.
And Joseph, how about for you? How much did you challenge yourself, and how much did Jack help you to do that when you were taking lessons?
I really never challenged myself enough, and that's about it. I just don't challenge myself enough anymore. But, you know, Jack always had something special for me to work on, and I always appreciated that.
Have you kept up with it since you left?
Oh, yeah, I still play.
Mm-hmm. And Joseph Niebergall, how about you?
Jack, like, challenged me all the time to do better, because sometimes I would have a rough time, but challenges are better for me, because life's never easy. So if guitar is easy, then it's not a challenge for you, and you should move on.
So
not a challenge.
Jack Hopfinger, what does it take to motivate people, particularly when they could be a little jaded if they're in a place like a juvenile detention facility?
Well, it's interesting when the facility gets in a new group of boys. I can tell that they are very guarded, and as anybody would be, I would imagine, you know, getting together with a group of strangers and having to share the same environment. And I think it really gives individuals a chance to focus on something and practice and work at something that they can be proud of. It's not just learning music or an instrument. It's basically taking ownership on something and having pride and not feeling so intimidated, because you know something that you can share with other people. And I've noticed that's one of the biggest things that I've that I've noticed other individuals in my group have done. Once they learn something, they like to share it, and it really perpetuates, and it really gives a good sense of it gives me a good feeling that I'm able to help these individuals. And you know,
Dennis Ramsden, you mentioned that there is money available for some of the education programs that certainly can't be used as operating money for the Southern Oregon Music Festival itself. I mean, is the fate paired completely? I mean, if the festival
yes,
does,
it is.
These
yes,
education
it is.
Programs
yeah.
go to?
Yeah, we will continue. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you give money back, nor do we want to. We want to continue it as long as we possibly can, and we will. But if the festival is ended, then... you know, in the near future, the programs will also end, unfortunately.
The festival in question is the Southern Oregon Music Festival, which you may remember as the Southern Oregon Jazz Festival and the Medford Jazz Jubilee before that. It's got a long history, almost three decades in the Rogue Valley, and faces a March 1st deadline to raise $50,000 to keep going this year. Dennis Ramsden is the president and executive director. Jack Hopfinger is guitarist and music instructor. We have two students on the line with us as well, Charlie Hammond and Joseph Niebergall. And you can take part in the conversation, too, at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Maybe you've got some festival memories you'd like to share with us. We would like to hear from you. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Give us an idea, Dennis, of how much money the festival brings to Medford. If you've got 3 days of activities going on, you're probably bringing a few people to town.
Yeah, the last time, yeah, exactly. The last time I saw a record, because 60% of the people that attend the festival don't live in this valley. They come from all over the United States. We're one city that's on a circuit that goes all year long. And these festivals are held all over the United States. So the musicians that we hire also play, and they've got their fans. A lot of people are maybe a little older with disposable income that allows them to travel, but they come. I mean, last year we had people from Pennsylvania, from Florida, from Hawaii. Some of them come every year from that far just for this festival. So the economic impact is huge. Let's just say $1 million for that 3 days. Because those people come and stay, eat, drink, buy things, whatever. And that's why it's so important from an economic standpoint, why the city of Medford would want to keep this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. To my knowledge, in all the years I've been here, I've never seen anything quite has this impact. So that's the most important thing.
Is there any of City of Medford government money going into the festival?
No, there's not.
you asked, though.
Well, there is bed tax money out there, and yeah. You know, we're good for probably about $15,000 a year into that fund. Mm-hmm. So, I have something that I would like to pursue. I have pursued it, and I will continue to do that.
And have you had any people step forward thus far and say, hey, I can get part or all of that shortfall you're looking at?
No, I we've got people that right now, to be honest with you, we're at about $10,000, okay? Not had a chance to talk to business groups yet, which I will be doing today and then on Wednesday as well. And we've got a bunch of flyers going out to about 6,000 of them to businesses today. Hopefully that will do some good as well. We're getting a lot from people who don't live here. I've got calls, $1,000 from people in Richland, Washington, Grass Valley, California, Bend, Oregon, and other places besides, because they don't want to lose this festival either. So it's just important. You know, if you're in a position where you want to know more about it, maybe you haven't been there, once you get to the festival, you're probably going to come back. But the problem I found is that people who don't go have no idea what it is.
No, it's just getting them in the door the first time.
That's right. Somebody said to my wife one day, why don't you go? She says, well, the music doesn't have a beat. She said, what? Every band has a beat.
That explains why you said that. It all has a beat. I want to talk to the students who have been beneficiaries of the educational program. Joseph and Charlie, in that order, tell me about what a difference getting these music lessons made to you. Joseph?
It changed my life because it's interesting. I've still played, and it helps me focus on everything. And I still like music, and I actually am trying to learn a few more songs because my grandfather used to play, so that's what kept me interested in it. And he's trying to help me play more songs.
Oh, good. So it's a good family connection thing, too. Charlie Hammond, how about you? How big a difference did music lessons make for you?
Well, definitely kept me sane while I was in CBT enough so I could have that escape. You know, I could look forward to those lessons and being able to play with someone else. That's all I really did while I was in CBT is play guitar. So you can imagine that had a lasting effect on me. You know, music is such a big part of my life now, and I think, honestly, that's what might have kicked it off, because I had so much time to practice every day that, you know, I fell in love, and that's all I really needed.
And Jack Hopfinger, there's actually been an award from E-Town, which airs on public radio, to the program, is that right?
Yes, actually. If I may say one more thing, one thing to learn an instrument and learn how to play music involves self-control. And that's why I think this program is so important to youths like this. They learn how to control their actions. They learn that when you need to rest in music, you need to stay quiet and pay attention. And I think that is really an excellent skill in all walks of life for these guys.
Educational outreach, just one part of the Southern Oregon Music Festival. Quickly from Dennis Ramsden.
Yeah, I just want to add on that E-Town Achievement Award from National Public Radio, which has been broadcast all over the United States now, that the Southern Oregon Music Festival won it in Medford, Oregon. That's a huge contribution. It's huge for our program.
All right, Dennis Ramsden is the Southern Oregon Music Festival President and Executive Director. Thanks to Jack Hopfinger, Charlie Hammond, and Joseph Niebergall as well.
Thank you.